Hello, families.
Oh.
This is the third time I've preached in English in my life, whole life. It's pretty, I'm still nervous. But I'll try my best today. But I need your prayer and your favor. So I really want you to, excuse me, because my English is very ugly English, but also I'm a little bit slow, so yeah. Well, I'm so grateful to see the beautiful cooperation and harmony our church leadership and all church members have shown during Curtis's sabbatical for about 4 months, right? So I'm especially grateful for the decision of our church board. And I was able to see a healthy church by seeing our church willingly allowing, supporting, and praying for Curtis's sabbatical. While Curtis's absence of the church, everyone has been serving the church faithfully in each part. So I think Curtis's absence played a role in making our church more like active. It doesn't mean that Curtis's absence is better than before. So absolutely, we need Curtis. Yeah. I feel like our church is getting closer to a healthy church and stronger. Are you agree with me? Yeah. So I also feel the need to keep praying for our church leadership. I believe that the healthy direction of the church leadership and their determination determine the direction toward a healthy church. After all, I think the healthy church depends on how healthy the spiritual condition of the church leadership is. I hope you will continue to pray for Curtis and our church leaderships. Amen? Curtis, he's coming back soon, maybe next week, right? So I hope that we should not expect him to dedicate or work powerful ministry more than before, but expect him and his family will be happier, healthier, and have a deeper fellowship with God. So my point is being a healthy pastor and family. I believe that healthy leadership can lead a healthy church. A healthy church can also draw healthy leadership and pastors. Amen? Yeah. So I have read the book of Philemon several times to prepare for this sermon, and I thought about the Philemon church community. On the basis of the scriptures, without any speculation, I'm pretty sure that Philemon church community was a healthy church, despite Paul's worries about the problems of wrong teaching that had spread throughout many churches at the time at Colossae. As we can see, Paul's mention in verse 4 and 5, Paul said, "Philemon, I thank my God every time I mention you in my prayers because I've heard of your love and faithfulness, which you have both for the Lord Jesus and for all God's people." At the time, Philemon was well known as an influential and wealthy person at Colossae. He might have been considered a church leadership who loves God and faithfully loves his people. Especially in the book of Philemon, unlike what Paul mentioned in other prison letters, he doesn't point out the problems of the Philemon church community or the problem of wrong teaching that was spread in churches at the time. Of course, purpose of this letter was not for pointing out the problems of the church in pastoral intent. This letter is more like Paul's petition to the Philemon church community. Anyway, we can see that through Philemon's faith in the Lord and his love for all the saints, his people, he had enough qualities as a mature leader of the church. We are also convinced that his beloved people were also healthy believers. The Philemon church community would have been a healthy church. The faithful faith and love in Christ. I think these are very important factors in diagnosing the spiritual condition of the church. When someone talks about a healthy church or a successful church, unfortunately, they may be able to ask these questions, like, how many ministries does the church have? How many financial size does the church have? How many people gather? Or how big is the church building? But these kinds of things are never going to be the criteria that determine a healthy church. The criteria for determining a healthy church should probably begin by asking the following questions, like, how many faithful believers are there? In other words, how many converted members are there? How many members are growing up as disciples? Are there ministries for making disciples or not? Is a church with spiritual nurturing and growth? Are they practicing love in and out of the church in Christ along God's commandments? I believe these kinds of things should be the criteria for determining the healthy church. In fact, we don't know how many people gathered in the Philemon church community, and we don't know how financial power they had, and we don't know what the church building, actually Philemon's house, looks like. These kind of things are not found in the Bible, but we can only find and see how faithful they are faith and love in Christ in the Bible. In the sense, we should be able to see how healthy our Discovery Church is. Let's talk about the book of Philemon more. The book of Philemon, well known as one of Paul's prison letters, is written by Paul to Philemon, who is one of the leaders in the Colossian churches. According to the beginning of the letter, the recipients of the letter are not only Philemon, but also Appia, Archippus, and the church in his house as well. Here the word used house in the scripture is oikon in Greek. The root form of oikon is oikos. It means house or home, which is usually one of the words used in the New Testament for the meaning of church. At this point, we can find that the early church usually started from home. There were no buildings dedicated to church services. Philemon and his family opened their own house for themselves and for the church. The early Christians met in private homes like Philemon's house. The home was the church, and the church was a home. I believe that this concept of the church should be the same today as well. Your home is a church, and the church community here is our home. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Yeah. The purpose of the letter, it is very clear why Paul wrote this letter to Philemon. Paul wrote this letter to ask him to receive Onesimus as a dear brother in the Philemon church community. The reason why Paul asked him to receive Onesimus is because Onesimus was a useless person before he met the Lord Jesus. But after he met the Lord Jesus through Paul, he became a useful man, along the meaning of his name. And he wanted not only to accept Onesimus as a brother, but also to officially send him back to himself. If so, what was Onesimus like? The general understanding about Onesimus that we know is that Onesimus, once a slave owned by Philemon, ran away from Philemon's house and left Colossae. He stole something from Philemon's house and ran away. He fled from his master and escaped to Rome, where he was led to embrace the gospel through Paul. But why he left Philemon's why he left Philemon is not clear. The suggestion that he ran away after a thief is also not clear. We can't know in detail from the Bible what kind of damage he did in Philemon's house, except that he was a slave and useless to Philemon on the basis of verse 11. On the basis of verse 18, we can only speculate that he could have caused or harmed Philemon's house. In fact, Paul's expression doesn't mention the specific mistake of Onesimus, but only uses the assumption of if in the sentence. The circumstance of Onesimus' meeting with Paul during his imprisonment is also not clear. It is only possible that Onesimus may already have been acquainted with Paul through an association with him at Philemon's house. But if Onesimus stole something from Philemon, we don't know why he had come to Paul's prison in Rome. We don't know. Why did he come to Paul after a thief? In that sense, totally in my view, I think Onesimus was sent from the Philemon church community to serve Paul rather than he run away from Philemon, because based on verse 12, Paul says that he will send Onesimus back. Sending him back. That means that we can surmise Onesimus was once sent. It might be why he was able to go to Paul in Rome. Given that he was a slave of Philemon, he was probably sent to serve Paul, regardless of his intentions. And perhaps that was the harsh disposition that useless slave deserve. In any case, the important fact is that Onesimus didn't know the gospel in the past and that he was useless to Philemon. But after meeting Paul, he was converted to a faithful co-worker for the gospel, no longer useless. Onesimus became a Christian through his contact with Paul, and the two established a very close personal relationship with each other. Paul describes this as a father-son relationship. Paul, however, recognized that his new convert was still a slave under the ownership of Philemon. For that reason, Paul wrote a letter to urge Philemon to take Onesimus back and treat him as a beloved brother in his house, church, no longer a slave. So Paul wanted Onesimus to escape from his position as a restrictive slave of institutional or social status and walk with him as a more influential gospel co-worker, as a free man. So in fact, it's not very important to know in detail what Onesimus was like in his past. It is only important that he has become a useful person from a useless person. He has become a brother of a faithful community and a faithful co-worker from a slave owned by someone. It is supposed that becoming a free man from a bondage slave at the time would have been a very difficult topic. It was expected that the transition to a new status would have been very difficult and rare, given the distinct economic and social status distinctions at the time. The fact that Onesimus is recognized as a brother of Philemon church community was also an issue that may be hard to accept in social customs at the time. But this request was possible because it was dealt with in the church. To accept as a brother means to be accepted as an equal relationship, rather than a slave-master relationship. It could be possible because it was only a Christian community at the time. Paul does set ahead in this letter a principle for conduct within the life of the church. He took a social issue and placed it in the context of the life of the church and instructed both the master and the slave to deal with this issue on the basis of the transforming power of divine love. Love thus liberates the slave from bondage. The master is no longer an oppressive power, but a brother or sister in Christ. It is this liberating power of love at work in the church that gives him the theological legitimacy to speak the words in Galatians 3:28. Like, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. Nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. It is this gospel that challenges us to be agents of change the evil world, which continues to oppress and exploit the powerless in the society. The church should be a place that can transcend the customs of the world, transcend whatever status, races, languages, and any discrimination in any time. I believe this is the church that God wants. I believe the church should be a place to paralyze the worldly power, such as discrimination, egoism, injustice, unfairness, oppression, and exploitation. So in some ways, what is impossible in the world should be possible in the church. What is impossible in the world should be possible in the church. I believe this is one of the roles the churches do in this world. Just looking at Paul's request in this letter, we can guess Philemon church community was healthy enough. They were one in Christ Jesus. No discrimination existed, and they were a community of love and faith. By the love of Christ, we have been forgiven, and by faith, we have become children of God. Amen. We are saved not because of what we have done, but because of unconditional love and grace given for us. God's love has no limitation, no discrimination, no conditions. We are loved by God unconditionally. Do you believe that? So in our church, there is no reason that we shouldn't love each other. Amen? In fact, the Bible doesn't tell us how Philemon responded to Paul's request. How did Philemon respond to Paul's request to accept Onesimus as a brother in his house and return him back to Paul for ministry? There is no doubt about the answer to this question. Paul's request must have been accepted. If Philemon rejected Paul's request, this very personal letter, Philemon, would not have been a biblical canon to us today. Otherwise, perhaps Philemon would remain in church history as a hard, proud, and contradictory man. It was later said that Onesimus became a great Eastern Orthodox bishop of the Ephesus region. Onesimus was the fruit of love and forgiveness created by Paul and the Philemon church community. A healthy leader leads a healthy church, and a healthy church also makes a healthy leader. I want our church to grow into this mechanism. Given our relationship in the church and out of the church as Christians, we can think of the relationship between Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. Through the relationship between Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus, I could see a picture that shows the relationship with Jesus Christ, who mediates for us, God, who accepted us as children, and a sinner who had to die. Reformer Martin Luther, he said, Paul and Philemon united and worked for Onesimus, just as Christ worked for us in union with the Father God. If we have faith, we are all his Onesimus. Of course, we don't need to interpret this book allegorically by identifying Philemon as God, Paul as Christ, and Onesimus as saints like us. However, we have no choice but to acknowledge that the image of Christ pleading for us, our mediator, is projected through the image of Paul's pleading for Onesimus gained through his ministry. We also acknowledge that our own image defended by Jesus is projected through Onesimus, who was useless and harmful, but defended as a useful, faithful, and beloved. The protagonist of this letter, Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus, all of them show us how those who have experienced God's forgiveness and love in Christ reflect such forgiveness and love in real life and in their relationships. In some ways, we are not only Onesimus in Christ, but sometimes we should be Philemon and sometimes Paul. I'm sure that living as a Christian in this world should be to live as a mediator between God and the world, like Paul, and also to practice forgiveness and love in the world, like Philemon. I believe healthy churches can build healthy relationships. Do you believe that? They formed a strong relationship with faith, love, and forgiveness in Christ, going beyond the worldly ways and social customs. Their relationship is no longer slave or master, but father, son, brother, and faithful co-worker of the gospel in Christ. If the Philemon church community had responded with rejection, refusing, ignoring, judging, or a critical view of Paul's request, we would never have found their beautiful cooperation in the Bible and the church history. Just as healthy churches build healthy relationships, healthy relationships also build healthy churches. Amen. I want to talk about my testimony and wrap up the sermon. When my family visited Korea last summer, Eugene went to see a doctor for a medical issue, and she was diagnosed with lupus disease. It was a big shock to Eugene and all my family. We didn't know anything about lupus. It was the first time that I heard about lupus. Lupus is a systemic autoimmune disease that occurs when your body's immune system attacks your own tissues and organs. It is such a scary disease, just to hear. The body's tissues or organ attack itself because the immune system works abnormally. In other words, the phenomenon in which one's body rejects or refuses itself. Unfortunately, this disease is known to be incurable. That is why lupus is a disease that should be embraced. So lupus needs constant care. Carelessness causes problem immediately. Eugene and I were disappointed, afraid, and worried about it at first. But we thanked God for giving the disease, because I believe this disease keeps us in constant prayer and spiritual tension. Paul mentions the thorn of the flesh in 2 Corinthians, and he confesses that the purpose of God's thorn in the flesh is to humble himself. That might be good for his spiritual tension. Eugene and I were recalling Paul's confession and thanked God for giving us a chance to rely on God alone. Sometimes we forget that suffering is not unhappiness, but a blessing for us. God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond we can bear. Amen. I'm so thankful for the test that God has given me and my family. I was thinking about the inner relation between lupus and the church. I hope that our church today will not suffer from spiritual diseases like lupus. The fact that the church suffers from the spiritual lupus disease means that we, one body in Christ, reject and refuse ourselves. Eventually, such a body will soon be destroyed and collapse. We often point out and criticize church problems easily. I have also criticized church problems. In particular, I had a negative view of Korean immigrant churches. But I realized that any problems in any church is my problem. Any pain becomes my pain. And the fact that their wounds eventually become my wounds. For the church is one body. The way to deal with the problems of the church had to be repentance, prayer, forgiveness, and love, not criticism, judgment, and condemnation. There might be still some diseases in church. Perhaps spiritual diseases are such as condemnation, judgment, egoism, selfishness, greed, rejection, unconcern, discrimination, lack of love, and so on. But I fully understand, because the church is still an imperfect community. So we can't get rid of the disease or ignore them completely. Maybe we should embrace them and go with them, because that is actually our problem, responsibility, and portion. So towards problem solving, we must start with enlightenment and repentance. Amen? The only way to deal with lupus disease is through continuous management. First of all, they need to know exactly how their body condition is and take the nutrients and medicines they need. And above all, they need to live their lives regularly. How to keep the healthy church is also continuous and regular management as well. First, you need to diagnose your spiritual condition through reflecting the Word of God. If necessary, you should confess your weaknesses to God and repent your sins all the time. You, the church, must be spiritually healthy yourself. You must be healthy so that the church will be healthy. Do you believe that? Because you are the church. And then you would continue to do work of loving each other, loving our neighbor, loving God. We would continue to gather together to remember the love of Christ and to worship God. These could be very routine and repetitive things, but these are the most important things we have to do regularly as one body of Christ. I want our church to be healthy as one body. Amen? So today, my sermon dealt with very basic things about the church, which are the healthy church, our faith in Christ, and relationship. You know, you don't have to expect you will have some elegant or lofty ways to be grown up your faith through the sermon. In fact, our faith grows through just routine and repetitive actions. I'd like to end with some challenges for you to move toward a healthy church. Don't stop worshiping God. Amen? And don't forget the love and grace, forgiveness, and generosity of God that we have received. and then practice them in your life. Let others know that you are Christian. It should be living life, not only words. Do these things continually and repeat. This is what we should do here and now. Amen.